Jesus Christ is referred to in Scripture as the firstborn. Now, that word is used in two different ways in the Bible. First of all, sometimes it means born first. And that is true of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, firstborn, born first. That's the oldest child. And we read in Luke 2:7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger." So, sometimes it means born first, and Jesus was. But sometimes the word firstborn is used in a very different way. It carries with it the idea of superiority. This teaches that Jesus Christ, the firstborn, is the highest of the high. He is superior, supreme, preeminent above everything else. How? Let me show you this morning, using the terminology firstborn of our Lord, what does the Scripture say about Jesus as firstborn? Let's begin this morning in the book of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Now watch for the word firstborn. Colossians 1:15. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." Notice it says that Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. So that's my first point. He is preeminent in creation. Jesus is not just a prophet, not just a spiritual leader. This says that he has primacy over all created things because he is the creator. When we gather to worship Jesus Christ this morning, we're not following some spiritual leader or some prophet, maybe as some assemblies that meet today are doing. We are here to worship the Creator. Notice it says in verse 15, "For by him all things were created." Verse 16, "All things were created through him and for him." Verse 17, "He is before all things, and in him all things consist." We worship the Creator, not the creation. The creation is the things. We don't worship things. And we need to realize that the things of this world will eventually grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I'd like to share with you just for a moment about things. We need to stop worrying about things and get our eyes on the Creator, our Savior. And you know and I know it's too easy for us to get wrapped up in things. And you get distressed over it and worry about it, and then I can't afford it, Before we leave this point, I want you to turn to the thing passage in the Bible. Did you know there's a thing passage that Jesus spoke about? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is one of those passages that's just been good for me to go over it and over it and over it. Matthew chapter 6. How are we to handle things? And here's the answer from the lips of the Creator, our Lord. Listen carefully to what he says in verses 31 through 34. Jesus speaking. Therefore, do not worry, saying, well, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. That is, unsaved people. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Three thoughts. Did you notice in verse 34, basically what Jesus said was, you just, and not you, but also me, live one day at a time. That's what he just said. You see, where did he say that? Look at verse 34 again. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, every day has enough trouble of its own. So stop worrying about tomorrow. You just handle today. I'll just tell you, I need to hear these words from my Savior. And here's the second thought. Remember God's promises. Say, where'd you get that? Look at verse 32. He says, in verse 32, for after all these things, unsaved people seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. You need all these things, and my heavenly Father, your heavenly Father knows that. Oh my goodness. My heavenly Father knows what I need and what I don't need. And he will take care of what I need and what you need. You know, if we will put our cares in God's hands, he will put his peace in our hearts. So Jesus said, just live one day at a time. Remember that your heavenly Father knows what you need and what you don't need. And third, accept what we can't change. Look at verse 33. Accept what we can't change? Yeah. He says, you simply seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Oh. You first be eager to have God as your king and his righteousness. You seek him. Then he will add the things that you need for your life. Very good. Thank you, Lord. Take that home with you and read it and reread it. So the first thought for this morning is, he is preeminent in creation, and we worship the Creator. We don't need to worry about all the things. And I will tell you that I have tried to take that verse and even say to myself sometimes in a situation to whoever, okay, stop. We are letting these things that ruin our life. You know, and it's just good for us to be reminded. Let's worship the Creator, and then let's let Him provide the things that we need. Second, He is preeminent in the resurrection. Go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, we read, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So that's why I say, my second thought, as to Jesus being the firstborn, in this passage, he's preeminent in resurrection. He's the firstborn from the dead. You say, now, what does that mean? He wasn't the first person ever resurrected, by the way. Lazarus. And there were others. But there's a difference in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did you know? One of the differences is, he announced his resurrection ahead of time. Lazarus didn't know what was coming, nor did the others. But Jesus announced his resurrection ahead of time. Listen to Jesus speaking in Matthew 20. He says, they will deliver me to the Gentiles to mock and scourge, and they will crucify me. The third day, I will rise again. So he said ahead of time that he would be resurrected from the grave. Boy, that makes him preeminent, different. Nobody can do that, but Jesus could. So he announced his resurrection ahead of time. He raised himself from the dead. Lazarus and all those others did not. Oh no, they couldn't. Jesus Christ raised himself from the dead. That makes him preeminent above all other miraculous experiences. Listen to what he says in John 10. I'm quoting Jesus speaking. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. And I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. In other words, he resurrected himself, never to die again. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he died again. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead, but she died again. The son of the widow of Nain was resurrected from the grave, but he died again. But Jesus is the firstborn among the dead. He's the highest, the greatest, because he resurrected himself never to die again. He's preeminent in creation. He's preeminent in resurrection. What a Lord we have. Third, he is preeminent in the church. Turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, notice if you will, verse 22 and 23. Hebrews 12, 22. I have these next verses circled in red in my Bible. I'll tell you why. Because this passage talks about heaven, and it talks about the various groups of people who will be in heaven. Do you ever want to know who's in heaven? Here it is. Hebrews 12. Notice, if you will, at verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. There will be angels there more than you can count. Innumerable company of angels. And to the general assembly, and here comes, church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Oh, the church of the firstborn will be there. In a sense, we are the church of the secondborn, because we need to be born again to get there. But there's a biblical teaching here that we are the church of the firstborn. Our Lord, our Savior, the Creator, the one who died, but then proved he had power over death by resurrecting himself, never to die again, will be able to take us when we die and bring us back to life, and we will live forever, never to die again. The idea here is, in this passage, we are described as the church of the firstborn because we, of our privileged position with Christ. What a privileged position. Someday Jesus will come again in glory. When he came the first time, he was born in Bethlehem. He came as a baby. But someday, he will return in power and great glory to take us out of here and take us to that heavenly Jerusalem, the city which has been prepared for us to live in. Yes, a real city, a real world. And we will be there forever with him, in his presence. I love this passage because it says there will be angels there, the church will be there, and then it says the spirits of just men made perfect. I gather from that, those would be maybe the Old Testament saints. So angels, the church, the believers of all the other ages, all together in that city, which the Bible says, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He created that city for us to live in. As you know, I told you this past week, two deaths that affected me a lot emotionally. The man that I worked with for a long, many years as my minister of music. And then the first couple that were, they were my intern, an intern couple, because all through the years I always had at least one or two couples working with me at the church, and we were training them to be pastors and ministers of music and or whatever. And my first couple, his wife, Jenny, sweetest thing in the world, died this week, past week. I went to a funeral a week ago on Saturday, and I went to a funeral yesterday. And I will tell you, it's hard to sit there. It was an amazing thing yesterday. My minister of music, he had children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Oh, my goodness. I forget how many there were. I don't know if it was 20 or 30 or however many. They started the service with all of his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren standing on the platform yesterday. And they started the service with them singing about heaven. I'll tell you, that'll move your heart. Because he's in heaven. And we need to be faithful until the Lord takes us. But someday he'll take us to this city. Because he is the firstborn of creation. He's our creator. He's the one who has the power to resurrect us. And so we are a part of the church of the firstborn. Do you know for sure that if you died today, you will go to heaven? The Bible says, these things are written in the Bible that you may know that you have everlasting life. But you have to make that decision in your heart to trust Jesus Christ. If you don't know, you be sure before you leave here today, speak to someone, or maybe in just a moment when we close the service or whenever, just bow your head and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm going to die. I want to go to heaven. And you get there by faith in Jesus Christ. I never get old. It never gets old telling that. That's the message of salvation. My responsibility is to share with you what God says in his word about how you can go to that city and live forever with God and all the other saints who've gone on before us. Father, we thank you for your word, for the great encouragement and strength it is. And, oh God, having lost loved ones this past week or two, I thank you for once again the assurance that we will see them again. And we pray for any person who may be here right now who's never been saved. May they understand who you are. You're the creator. And you proved that you had power to die for our sins because you resurrected yourself. May they put their faith and trust in you and be saved today. And walk out of here knowing that whatever happens and however long they live, they will be absent from their body someday and present with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.